stand on, and making it the rule of life, making it the cause of your actions, making it the determining consideration, making it the measuring line, making it the decision-making area of your life. People who just go to church and read the Bible and believe it as long as it doesn't get in the way, and intellectually believe it all, but allow the emotions and hurts and problems to carry them contrary to Scripture when they're in difficult straits, are people that are vulnerable to the devil. And I mean, I am learning also the power of the devil. In these last days, I tell you, this is a dangerous world. Dangerous life. Every side, the enemy of our souls in the spiritual warfare and subterfuge is seeking to subvert, lie, down you in any way possible. He has got designs against you individually. You are on his plotting board. You are a little marker on his plotting board. And he's looking at your weaknesses. He's been studying you, and they're plotting how to get you. They're looking at some way through your friend or through divide and conquer is one of Satan's old schemes. He wants to divide you from your church. Find some way to get you to have some rationale to leave your church. Put you in suspicion against it. Give you doubts. And then tell you, well, I mean, you know, you still feel good about the church in general. And it's a good place. I mean, I'm really for it. God's doing a good work. But if you just have somebody, just put reservation there. So you don't really join it and become one with it. So you don't really put your heart in with it. If you can just, well, you come to church, you love God, you read the Bible, it's like to live on the fringes. You know, you can't live on the fringes. You can get by for a while, but when calamity hits you, brother, you got to be involved. And if it gets you some doubts or suspicions, it'll get you to hold your heart back a bit, hold your mind back. Then when things happen, you're vulnerable. He's trying to divide us from each other. One by one by one, every problem in a marriage, every dating problem, every brother-to-brother problem, any eldership to saint problem, anything he can get. And he wants to keep our pride up high so that if you ever do something wrong and get counseled about it or rebuked for it, that you won't take it. And if you won't take it, then you'll get you to turn the blame on them. Blame somebody else for your problem. Call the blame on the church and the elders and the school teachers and the principal and find somebody to blame because your dear Johnny couldn't be wrong and you couldn't be wrong, you see. It's got to be the church at fault. It's got to be the pastor of that place. It's got to be my brother who was wrong. And then he wants to get us to blame each other because everybody's, you know, has faults. So he wants us to find faults. That's fault finding. Find a fault in one another. Major in it. Write our faces on it. Talk to them about it. Go out in mass media. Produce it to everybody you can. Publish it abroad. Put the reputation if you can. Satan is a great destroyer. He's a destroyer. He's a father of lies. Father of all liars, the scripture says. And he works in a great government of subterfuge. Even coming in as an angel of light, even coming into religious people, religious books, revelations. You know, the devil gives revelations. Quoting scripture even, out of context, everything he can do to dupe you. I'm going to tell you something. Unless we walk by this word, we're not going to make it through the storms that lie ahead. If you ever want to be the bride of Christ, make that outward translation. You're going to have to make up your mind where your foundation is, what it is, and what you stand on. You cannot be blown about by crisis, emotions, other people's actions. You cannot afford to be in a position where you say, well, I don't care, he did so-and-so. You better care. You better care. We've got to learn how to walk right when everybody is smashing us, as well as when we're on the mountaintop. And I am genuinely worried steady, and you do this, and you go to God. Few of them do. Few of them do. Those that do, those that will follow the counsel, no matter how hard it is, and will go on the face before God, God delivers. Those that say, I can't emotionally handle it, don't find the source in God. They panic, work it out in the flesh, they fall. I'll tell you, you can't work out these things in the flesh unless you give it to God, unless you learn how to trust Him. And people that try to live their own life without trusting God, they're in trouble. Because come something big, they have not learned to trust God for the everyday things. And it's not a habit of them of trusting God and going to God, then there's a problem. And so when a big thing comes, they couldn't possibly trust God for that, and they'll try to solve it on their own, and they can't, and being emotionally overwhelmed, they just throw themselves into drink or drugs, total backslide, and get mad at God, or get mad at the church or something. They'll open themselves wide open to demons, they'll just throw themselves off the bluff because they're afraid they might go off the bluff. I want to tell you, this is a time to hold with God's people. Over and over again, I'm seeing this pattern. Every single time, it's happened again this last week, every single time a person goes under, he immediately says, nobody talk to me. Don't want anybody to talk to me. And they typically, in a marriage situation like this, they leave and they say, not let anybody know who I am. The time they desperately need help, the time they need a pastor, the time they need God, they isolate themselves from the only one who can help them. Now, I ask you this question. Why do you come to church and listen to this pastor preach? If we're not going to gain something that will hold us through the storms and the crisis, why come and listen? Unless, you see, the whole safety is in, what the Bible say? Hide this word away in your heart, not your head, in your heart, that you might not sin against Him. Now, that doesn't mean you just that you might not went out and commit adultery. It means sin of unbelief. It means sins of unsubmission. It means sins of doubt, sins of fear. It means anything you would do to disregard God, His word, and His promises to you. And you go under during a crisis. When you give up, you sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin, it says in the book of Romans. It's missing the mark, with grave consequences following, hamartia. We have got to live by this book. We pride ourselves in the fact that we are careful to the truth of the book. But why be careful of how you say it if you're not careful how you live it and walk on it? We have got to bring ourselves into conformity with this word, or we are going to find us one by one by one by one by one backsliding. Every time a crisis hits, somebody else will be gone. And it hits them and they're gone. Nobody can understand it until it hits them and they're gone. There are people in this assembly that know how to go through crisis. I've seen people go through crisis in this church. They hold their jaw straight, their backbone up. They hold up. They trust God to the very end. They come. There are people that go through crisis. The first thing they do in every crisis, they run to the prayer bench. They run to the prayer room. Spend hours before God. They always make it, those people. And then we've had a number of people that have come to the pastor and they say, boy, I don't, you know, I'll confess that I don't have any confidence in myself how this could be done, how God can solve the problem, how this person could ever change. I mean, the situation is so far gone, it's so bad, they're so adamant, the thing is so this way. I don't have any confidence, I don't know how anything will work out. I mean, I don't even understand. But all I know is, I know that you're my pastor. I know God gave you to me to pastor me. I know that you're not emotionally storm, and your storm will be a complete surprise to you, and it may be in an area you never expected, and you'll be tossed from your moorings if you do not lay hold of this truth. If you will learn to lay hold of every truth given, and every time you get a truth from the Word, you will follow it. Everything you see you're not doing, it says to do, you'll start doing it. Just like that, because it says so. Regardless of how you feel, adequate or inadequate. I'm sure Peter never felt adequate to walk in the water. And if you'll stop doing everything it says stop doing, no matter how bad you want it, and if you'll believe God for everything, stop believing God for little things, big things, everything in your life that needs to be, God needs to be, decide to believe Him for it. Not just quote believe God, but I mean believe Him. Just decide to, Lord, I can't do it. I give up. I put it in your wind basket. You're going to have to do it. I hold you to your word. I am claiming your promise. If we'll do this, you will see God do miracles such as you have never seen. You'll see Him do the impossible. We've had many cases of the absolute impossible being flipped right over. I have even stood amazed myself as I have entered counseling rooms, knowing the situation was three-quarters over the bluff, holding on by one fingernail, devil hanging on each leg, totally hopeless, and move in there and pray, and the Spirit of God come down and turn the whole thing around, and they come out with glory. I've seen it happen over and over again. God can do things that you never dreamed possible. Change people like that. Just change them like that. In a few moments of time, change a rebel to one who's submissive and ready to do whatever God wants him to do. But that only comes when we open ourselves up to God. We've got to open ourselves to God and quit isolating ourselves. Amen. This is the sixth of a series in the Sunday School Hour on the principles of exercising the gifts. And we have been confining this at present to the utterance gifts. We can't always judge with certainty the utterance gifts, but they're all guidelines and principles that we can go by. And I have been sharing these with you over the last five sessions. Some Christians can judge more easily than other Christians. But there are some who are quick with dogmatic opinions about an utterance gift. I mean, they're quick to say that is not of God, or they're quick to say that's of the Lord. I mean, God just confirmed that, and that is exactly it. But they really have no unusual spiritual insight or understanding of the principles. What I'm saying is that although there are those who have a more keen spiritual insight, and the Spirit of God witnesses to them more easily than He does to others, and they have more of a discernment of spirit concerning that, there are others who think they have, because they're very opinionated. They go by circumstances. They make quick judgments. Some are more simplistic in judgment. And they see a point and think that is the end of the matter, and they make quick judgments, and they're dogmatic in their judgment. But it does not necessarily mean that that person knows more than anybody else about that. It's just that he is quick in judgment and vocal about it. It's much easier to know if an utterance gift is not of God than to know if it is of God. Because if the utterance has no problem, opinions of God. We can't think like God unless we have his opinions. We can't have his opinions unless we know his book. And we can't know his book unless we're open to the spirit of revelation. And we cannot be open to this and so forth if we do not put ourselves in a place where we can receive. And we can't do that until we get rid of things that are standing in our way as roadblocks. You can't look narrowly up there at the one that God has chosen to bring his word and expect God to punish you with it. Now, I appreciate deeply this assembly. I'll have to say that although we are a fast-growing assembly, we always have many visitors, and there's always, when this many people, there's always the problems. I'll have to say that this group has more oneness of faith and spirit behind the pastor. This group is a loving group. There are lots of churches where the people are not really cemented to the pastor. And they have pastors come and go every 4 years. But in this church, we have people that we have a bond with one another and so forth. Not 100%, but I want it to be 100%. And I deeply appreciate you that are really solid with us and moving with us together. You've got to learn to trust one another. I believe that a husband and a wife should trust one another, even though neither one of them are perfect or fully trustworthy. Right? I think children should trust the parents and the teachers, even though they're not perfect and fully trustworthy. Don't you? You can't hold back because there might be a problem someday. Your child can't not believe the parent because someday you may be wrong in something. See, that's fuzzy thinking. You never learn anything that way. You better open up. Now, if your spirit bears witness to an utterance gift, it still may not be directly from God, because you may be bearing witness to the truth of it and the application in your life. Say, amen, brother. Boy, my spirit bears witness with that. Because I know I went through that one time, and I see that so clearly, and God showed me that through the word. But it doesn't necessarily mean God gave it that moment of time to you, and thus saith the Lord. I mean, the person could get up, because he feels it so strongly, it's happened to him, God has shown him that in the book. If thou art witness with his spirit, it's rumbling through his soul, he feels about it, the service has been on it, and he sees it, and he gets up, and he feels so dynamic, he feels anointed, and he begins to pour this forth, and he just attaches us there to the Lord on it. Well, it's from the Lord, it's just not directly from the Lord, not directly for that moment, and necessarily word for word. Now, you see, well, what's the difference then? Well, the point, of course, nothing. It's like refusing not to speak in English when God's trying to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You're blocking. You are blocking the Holy Spirit. You're fighting Him. You see, if you will, by faith, see, when you go, if you're going to go out to walk in the water, you have to step on the water like you're walking on the water. If you're going to lay hands on somebody and pray for them for healing, for miracle deliverance, you've got to pray for them as though they're going to get healed. And you've got to preach as though God is going to anoint you, which means you have to get up into the anointing slot. What I mean by that is when God brings and anoints you, you speak in a certain tenor and tone, in a certain vein. And if you refuse to act by faith, see, when you speak in tongues, you speak by faith. You start off believing that God's going to give you the utterances. And they'll just fall flow. You start off by complete faith, not knowing anything what you're going to say, just trusting, and you speak as though you're going to speak in tongues. You don't know what it is yet. You just start out, and then God does it. But if you don't start that way and you go, well, nothing's coming, see, it won't come. God works on faith. And when you go to testify, to preach, particularly to bring in a revelation, unless you can step out by faith and speak as though God is speaking in the way He will speak, He can't take hold of it the same way. And when He doesn't take hold of it the same way, it won't be brought in the same way. But if you can get into the anointing, He can begin to bring back to you the same thing He gave you when you were lying in the bed and your mind was in a state of quiescence and you were in a place, you know, where you wasn't busy with a lot of things, in a relaxed state, and there wasn't a lot of people around, your eyes weren't taking photographs of people standing out in the big audience in front of you. And there wasn't any fill, and it was coming so perfectly. If you can get up into an anointing, because anointing will give you boldness. People have anointing. They can speak in front of crowds of people. Young, scared girls who are afraid to speak in front of people, for example, they can speak like a house on fire with an anointing. And if you get anointed, you can lose fear, which blocks the anointing and blocks the revelation. And you can be in a place where God can reveal to you so it can begin coming back in the same way God brought it to you. Now, may not always choose to do that, but if He doesn't, still it'll come anointed, dynamic, and you'll be plugged into it. He'll be feeding you with truth. Otherwise, you're getting your own. Otherwise, as you're speaking, your own reasoning will be pulling judgments out of your mind, data, things you've been taught, and throwing them together into speech. And it'll be more like a hash house where you go in, order hash, and they all sweep the kitchen. It'll be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of something else. And it won't be quite the fine type of cuisine that is brought by a master chef. But when God is doing it, He's that way. Don't add your own words to it. Don't add the thus saith the Lord. You get up and you start speaking. Now, partway through, and maybe the first sentence, maybe halfway through the first sentence, maybe the tenth sentence, God will just take over the thing. And then it may be even directly from the Lord from that point on. But that's all right. Better to do that and not say, thus saith the Lord, and say, thus saith the Lord, and have yourself in there for a while. I've seen a number of people, and you have too, get up to testify. And they start out, microphone down like this, testifying like this. But about halfway through, they plug in. And all of a sudden, you see them begin to take off. They begin to get anointed. It begins to flow. It begins to pour. And we should learn to start out that way. You see, it's so easy under the anointing to presume that it's necessary to say, thus saith the Lord. That it's difficult always to know whether God put thus saith the Lord in your mind, or whether your memory cells conviction that God has given me this, and your reasonings have put it there, and so therefore you just say it. The mind is so quick, which is a fantastic computer and reasoning ability, that it's so easy to speak. You know, you can speak and speak and speak and not be planning ahead at all. It's so fantastic what you can do in the areas of speech that it's not always easy to know what you do, where you leave off, and where God starts in. But there comes a place when you're cognizant that you're no longer speaking under your own power. You know it's God. We want to start out knowing it's God. And we need to be careful about putting God to it, because there are messages that if you analyze them carefully, you see problem areas in them, which means they're either not of the Lord directly, or that you didn't stay really in tune all the way through, or when he quit, you kept on going because you still felt the anointing of God upon you, not the anointing to speak, but still felt his presence upon you, and so you just kept right on going. One of these things, we need to know whether we're giving something directly from God or not, and to know whether or not, thus saith the Lord, God is saying it, or whether we are saying it. We never want to say, thus saith the Lord, to give power to what you're saying. There are people that are dishonest, and they use, thus saith the Lord, whenever they want to convince somebody of something they won't be convinced of unless the Lord brought it. That is dangerous and dishonest. If you cannot convince them without that, then don't convince them. You never have to do evil that good may come of it. Never have to do wrong to do right. God's big enough to take care of his own program without his people cheating on God and lying and exaggerating the testimonies and making things different than they are in order to try to help God out. Never try to help God out by doing that. He's big enough to take care of his own. Tell it like it is. Be accurate and careful with it. Then you won't get in trouble with demon spirits, and you won't get yourself all befuddled and confused. You won't end up with making mistakes then go on for 6 months, and then finally somebody stops you. I thought it was for the Lord all this time, and now all of a sudden all my messages were not of God. You won't get into a lot of problems if you're careful on all these things. Now, if a message is heavily anointed, it's scriptural, it's safe, it bears witness with the spirits of the ones that are in tune with God as to the truth of the message and as to the heart of the message, and it's perfect in all respects, no one has any reason to doubt that it is from God. There's no reason to doubt it. If it's perfect in all respects, you have no reason to doubt it. Now, that does not necessarily mean that it is directly from God. But it probably is. But it may not be. But you still don't have any reason to doubt it. You might have reason to say, it seems to be, and I accept it as such, although I could not positively, you know, tell. But you have no reason, there's no reason to put suspicion in there, lest you be suspicious of everything God says. God has said some things in this assembly that were very needed under crisis conditions, and people throwing that away have hurt themselves badly. And I know a number of these cases. If they had just done what God told them to do. But whenever you don't like something or want something, if you decide that's not of God, that is not the way to judge a message, because you don't happen to or want to do that or agree with it, whatever, because you're not in the right place. We need to be careful that it isn't something to, I'll pass by the asparagus and take this, please. You've got to be careful to be open before God. Now, if it isn't of God, there's no problem as far as the assembly goes, because the word of the Lord is what under anointing. It's what people need to hear. It's edifying. It's strengthening for the body, just like an exhortation would be. That isn't directly from God. And it's God's word anyway. It's God's will. His word is always his will. You can always get up and speak truth and be his will. You can always encourage and upbuild and edify and be his will. And probably been laid in the person's heart to share anyway, even if perhaps he shouldn't have said, thus saith the Lord. And so there's no worry. There is a place, however, of knowing that you know it's of cases, well, God has spoken to a person who is not really fluent and capable of giving a message like they gave. They gave a message so profound, with such clarity, such perfection, with such grandeur, height and scale, magnitude, bringing in a whole sweep of things. They could never get talk like that in a testimony or an exhortation. And it is, bears witness with the entire assembly. It bears witness with you in a very powerful, strong way. They say things that they could not possibly have known. They deal with things that the pastor knows and some others very specifically, and they have no idea of it. I have seen people give messages about something that was just hit the nail right on the head. They had no idea of what the subject was. It came in such a way that most of the people did not even know what they were saying, and the person themselves didn't know what they were saying. They did not know what it meant, and I knew exactly what it meant. I knew exactly where it was coming from. It's exactly what we asked the Lord to do. I said, Lord, reveal to somebody today this. It came in such a perfect way. There are things that are beyond any ability of coincidence. There are things that God uses in such a way that you know, and there's such a place to be speaking beyond the ability, and there's such an degree to feel strange, like you're standing there and a force is speaking through you with such dynamics that you're just standing there doing practically nothing. And you notice, you know that your mouth is moving, your diaphragm is moving, but you recognize in a kind of a strange way that you're being used by another power that's just pouring it through you. And you're hearing sometimes, for the first time, truths you never knew before. You're hearing things that are not up in your memory cells. I have preached many things that I did not know until I was preaching them. God was feeding me while I was preaching it and was speaking things for the first time. And in cases like that, you know that it's of the Lord. There are some cases where things look good. It probably is. You cannot be 100% sure. But you don't have to worry about it as long as it's looking good and it's been edifying and so forth. You see, this is why God does not give all these details as to how to live through prophecies and interpretations of the individuals, because that's not what that's for. God does not expect you to get down to the nitty-gritty of who you should marry and what dress to buy and where to move to next and what to do and lay everything out for you. All these, that is, God doesn't use the gift for that. That's too dangerous of a use for that. Anything of a great magnitude would come through a prophet in the first place. That is in a place, in a high office, that's known and respected and proven. It won't come through some saint someplace in a little prayer group and tell you details about your life and how you should do it all and all this. Those things are very suspect. God wants us to walk by faith in this word. And this is our role. And His Spirit will lead us. He does expect us to be led by the Spirit. Now, whether you are led by the Spirit or not is beside the point. It's incumbent upon you that you be led by the Spirit. That means it's incumbent upon you to keep everything under the blood of Jesus Christ, all your sins under the blood of Christ, keep a good relationship, and keep a prayer relationship, a vital relationship, a trust-living relationship, be His friend, walk with God, and be in the Spirit in prayer so that you can be led by the Spirit. And if you're not in the Word and prayer, and you're not in an open place, and you're not led of the Spirit, you'll wander. And then you're hunting for everybody's got a word for you. If people are always going around, do you have a word for me from the Lord? Do you have a word for me from the Lord? Well, I wouldn't trust that as far as I can throw a piano. God will lead you by His Spirit if you walk in that place. And His Word and His Spirit and His principles will lead you. And they're sufficient. And the men that have really known God and been the major revivalists and men of the age have been men that have walked according to the principles of this word, and men who have walked by faith in God and been dependent upon the leading of the Lord. They have not been men that have gone by all kinds of words and prophecies and interpretations. They don't live by that at all. If you know these men who are at the top of the ladder in apostolic work and prophetic work and ministerial work, they do not live by somebody else's word of the Lord to them and by prophecies and interpretations. They go by the principles and this book and the leading of the Lord. And it's the babes that go by the other things because they don't know the principles yet. They're always hunting for a word from somebody. God expects you to walk by faith, not look up ahead and try to know everything ahead. That makes you so you don't have to depend upon God. Quit reading Gene Dixon to find out what's going to happen. Read this book. You say, but I don't know. He didn't give some details about some things. Then you don't have to know those things. You don't have to know whether Reagan's going to get in the office or Carter's going to get in the office. And don't let Gene Dixon tell you. Because he might be right 8 times out of 10. But, you know, and then comes the big setup. And then when you got your building faith in these demonic spirits for all of this, then comes the big one. Rapture is going to come in 1 year from today. Trouble is, it can come 3 months from today, and you're not ready for it. Or it doesn't come, and it doesn't come. You give up hope, and you drop out, and all the rest, and then it comes. I mean, comes the big setup. Don't try to know ahead of time. Just walk for today in the light that God's put in your path for today and trust Him day at a time. That's the Bible way. Christians always know, what's going to happen after I get there, Lord? Now what then? What's going to be? And how's it going to come out? He does not want to tell you that. And if you've got to know that bad enough, you'll find people, misguided people around, they'll tell you. They'll tell you all about what's going to happen. They'll mess you all up. Brother, just walk step at a time with the Lord, and He'll be faithful. One day at a time, you live for Him. If you can make it through one day living holy and right before God, then you can make it through the next day. You only have to live a day at a time. If you knew that the rapture was going to come tonight at midnight, if God came down and made it very clear to you, very plain, and you knew that, and said, everyone that lives for me 100% today without any sin, you'll go in the rapture, and otherwise you're going to go to the lake of fire. Now, if He said that, could you live for one day? I think you would manage to make it. Without blowing up, I think people could come up and knock you down and step on you with both feet, and you say, praise the Lord, brother. That's 22 hours and 14 minutes. Spit in your face, they could call you anything, you could do anything they want. You could be sweet to your wife and your husband and your children. Now, if you can do that for one day, then you can do it for another one day. Because the second day is like the first day. You see a problem? We need to live like the Lord's coming at any time. We need to live knowing that we either please God or please the devil. There's too much carelessness in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, it takes more experience to judge the exceptions and to learn the guidelines for giving and judging messages. But an analysis of the words and the phrases of a message given will often reveal things that God would not say. And what is a good practice is to re-listen to a message on tape, particularly one that you have given, or it's been given over you, but particularly one that you have given. And sit down and analyze it, sentence by sentence. Write down everything that is ungrammatical. Write down everything that is a theological mistake. Write down everything that God probably would not say, and say that way. Write down the things that are your cliches that you would probably say, and analyze it. And if you've got problems there, then, and if there's a number of problems, the message is suspect. It's probably coming out of your own head and heart, coming out of your own human spirit. Meaning well, feeling, you know, girding inside, feeling this thing inside that you feel so strong about, feeling God's presence, stood because of the message and the body ministry, and you got up feeling so much power on you because of these things, and you gave it out. But God wasn't giving it. It was just everything crashing around inside of you. And you need to check those things carefully. Now, I want to answer some more questions. faith, self-motivated? Will God back it up, or will it be self-only speaking? And that really depends upon the situation. You cannot just decide that because you feel God's presence in a service, you should always feel God's presence in a service, but just because you feel His presence, or because you feel it in an unusual way, or because the testimonies are really hitting home to you and meaning something to you, or the message or the songs are just, you know, building you up in new wings of faith, and you decide to stand up because you're feeling wonderful and give a message and just trust that God's going to back it up, you cannot do that. You may get up speaking tongues, there's no interpretation. And you're speaking in tongues, you can always speak in tongues. But there's interpretation because it may be a prayer. We have every so often messages that are not interpreted, that really are not meant to be interpreted. The person just feels so stirred in their heart, they get up and they pray in tongues to God. And God says, I'm not going to send an interpretation for that. I mean, that's just that person praying to me. If I begin sending interpretations to that, why, that person will get in the habit of always doing that. That's just his own spirit crying out to me, and so there won't be any interpretation to it. You can't just get up and give a message, thus saith the Lord, and start prophesying either. God won't always back you up just because you start out something. He doesn't want to speak it, He won't speak it. On the other hand, there are times when the Spirit of the Lord, now understand this, this is something that isn't always really understood. You have to be careful with this. These spiritual things are not always so simplistic. They're very involved sometimes. And it takes some understanding to be able to learn how to apply these things. But when the Spirit of revelation is really moving in the assembly, I mean when God is moving in a very unusual way, and His people are really in His presence, I'll tell you, things are different. You can be in a place when the congregation has a spirit of revelation and has a light that they don't have normally. And you're thinking like God. I mean, you're above yourself. You don't have to be the one at the pulpit. You can be back there. And there are times when 100 people could stand and speak under the anointing of God. A revelation of God. They could speak revelation from Him. They could speak and God would back them up. I mean, God's presence is there to do the work. And you have the gift, and you can stand by faith, and you sense it, and you know it. You know that if I stand right now, that God will back me up in a message, and it'll be Him. This confuses some people. They say, this is strange. I don't know what to do. I realize that God's given me a gift, and I'm in the presence of God in a place that I can give a message practically any time. I don't understand it. Well, it's the same thing that confuses some people about being able to pray in tongues any time. And I gave you that classic case of this fellow who thought he was praying in tongues himself because he could do it any time, and so he quit doing it. He said it was so easy to do it any old time, and then he got scared if he could start to backslide. And then he decided to start praying in tongues, and he couldn't. And then he did get scared. And he had to pray in English for about a half hour before he could pray in tongues again. And then he realized the reason it was so easy because God was giving it to him, just like that, the perfect flow. I speak many, many, many times under a flow of God, in praying, in preaching, exhorting, while I'm witnessing, I recognize that God is carrying the thing. And there is a place where you can be where something is needed. I mean, the assembly is needed a body ministry. And you're in a place where, now understand, this does not come by any young babe that wants to get up and do something. These are people who are not trying to do something, but people that are in tune with God, and their faith is high, and they have a knowledge. Not that I'm going to get up and just trust God that He'll do it. Not an intellectual faith. But they sense and know by the Spirit, that the Spirit of understanding and revelation is upon them. And brother, I mean, when you're in a place like that, we need more of this. You've got people who can speak as God all over the place. You got people that know what's going on. They got all witness of that message, and they got the message when they go get the same time he was, and they knew ahead of this. You're getting a lot of this. And there are times and places where you recognize you can do this, and God will back it up. You can pray for the sick, and He'll heal them. You can do this, and He'll do that. I mean, God is there, and whatever you do, He'll back you up in it. But you got
Sea of Galilee, and they'd start leap out and start running across the water. But there is a place where you can do that. But if you're not in that place, you got to be careful. William Branham challenged the Hindu leaders of India. But you just can't run over there and challenge them whenever you want. It doesn't always come out that way. Seven sons of Sceva found that out, trying to cast a demon out of that man in the name of Jesus. You got to know that God's with you, behind you, in what you're doing, and not just feel his presence. You see, when you go to do something like this from God, there's something a lot more than feeling a dynamic presence of God. There is a knowledge that goes with it, in which you know. And that gives you your safety and what you know to do. There's a knowledge of God in which you know things. I have done so many things under the knowledge of God that I would be scared to death to do on my own. I have sat down and told people the marriage problems. I told a person, in one case, the marriage problem, every detail of it, without ever knowing anything about it, or ever hearing it from anybody. Now, you don't just do that and say, am I right or wrong? You say, you're wrong. When you use the spirit of intuition, it won't work. I have told people, as I was praying for them, what was in their heart and various things, details about their life, and right on. I have told people that when they lay hands on the sick and God's going to heal them, and, you know, just right out on the limb, you know. Come down here and watch what God's going to do. I mean, you've got to be in a place. You can't just haul off and try something. You've got to know it and be in that place. If you brought a message and know you inserted a word or phrase that wasn't God, should you explain that, as in your example, or let it go for fear of the people not accepting the whole message or breaking the flow of the Spirit? I think it depends a little on the case. There are times when if words are coming to you and you're saying it, and all of a sudden you misspeak, and you say something else, and you know the instant you do it, and you can't go on. I mean, it seems like you can't go on. You're just kind of stopped right there. You've broken the thing. Now that time, you better explain it, and then get back in the Spirit and go on. But if you're moving on, and it's an insignificant thing, and you didn't say quite the right word, but it meant the same thing, and you threw in a synonym of your own, and you recognize it immediately, don't break the flow, go on and finish the thing. And if it's an insignificant thing, you know, if you said mountain instead of hill or something, why, you know, the thought comes in, like mountain, and you say it so quick, the word that you're more used to using, let it go. But if it's something of impact, but you still can go right on the flow, you're better to carry to the end if you can, and then at the end explain. And say, you know, during this message, I said something was wrong. I knew immediately when I said it. And I wanted to correct this thing. This has happened. Have you ever misspoken and said something completely you didn't mean to say at all? Said something completely different? Well, that has happened sometimes. And sometimes it happens because you stagger at the word that you used. God says something, you stagger at it, and so you try to weaken it or find another word for it, or you get a concept and you speak so fast that you grab your familiar word and say the word he was using. This can happen. Question, why do more women give out prophecies and tongues interpretations than men? This will be my last question for today. That is true. In all the years that I have been in Pentecost, I have seen more women using these gifts than men. And I think there's a good reason for it. In the first place, in spite of the women's liberation movement, because, you know, God does not base his word and his idea on the women's liberation movement. He does not look down from heaven and say, oh, I better change the way I have everything all planned because the women are now up in arms down there. God has set immutable principles for his own reasons. It doesn't make any difference whether you consider them unfair or not. That's the way it is. There are certain people born retarded, and it may seem unfair to you, but they're still born retarded. Some are born under communists, some under Hindus, and some under Pentecostals. It might not seem fair, but that's the way it is. Some are beautiful, some are strong and handsome, some are short, fat, and ugly. And you can't help it. You find your soul in a certain body, and you cannot help that. Everything has its plus or minuses, however. Preaching that one time. jeopardies, and what I want is temptations that you don't have otherwise. Even blind people have, there's pluses even in being blind. There's pluses in being crippled. Now, God hasn't designed you crippled, but there's less temptation to run all over the countryside and do all kinds of things and get involved and be famous in sports and famous with all the crowds and do everything else. You know, you can't do a lot of things, and you're saved, you'll put your heart into the things of God, and you may be a better soul for eternity. And there's a balance in everything. But anyway, regardless of all those reasons, some of you might not think it's fair that little people have to mind big people, or big people are going to hit little people. But nonetheless, God has ordained it that way. It may not be fair that you tell your animal what to do. You come here. You sit down. You go. You chase the stick. You bring it back. You chase it again. You bring it back. You do this. You sit. You stay. Chain you up. Who do you think you are? But God has put human beings to have dominion over the earth. And whether you think it's fair or not, you want people to try to stop all the, killing of whales out there and all that. I wish people would get a little bit upset about people going to hell as much as they do white mice going to the moon. But it may not seem fair to you that God has put man over the woman, but he has. And business partners too equal never did work out well. We have to accept the way what God says. And because God has put men in more leadership positions, and the utterance gifts are really, if I may say so in a qualified sense, they're really the lesser gifts. God will give gift of tongues, for example, to one who's pretty much a babe, doesn't know the word too well, not too good of a speaker, maybe not even living. God has, a lot of things God has those rather rough corners on him yet. But it takes less to give a tongues interpretation, less faith, less ability than, upon the tongues than interpretation. It takes less. And it takes less to give either one than to work a gift ministry of miracles. It takes less than to use the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. God oftentimes putting men in, if women more often speak in tongues in the service and interpret tongues and prophesy, men more often exercise gifts of miracles, gifts of word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom. And so, God has given those things, and so that women may have their place in the body and their gifts, he's given more of them in this position. That is what I think is the reason. Besides, women have a unique ability. I shouldn't use the word unique. I should say they have a special ability. That is, they have it, they're more apt to have it in a more full way of yielding than men do. Women are better at yielding to God than men are. In general. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't men who really yield to God, and doesn't mean there aren't women who have trouble yielding. But the very nature of a woman, made this way because she is to yield and submit to her husband, whether she does it or not in this rebellious age, still, she's made that way to be more submissive and to anchor into her husband, even as the anti-type, the church to Christ. And so, for this reason, women are more often used in prayer intercession, too. They're in a place where they yield easily to the Lord, and they can get from the Lord much easier, oftentimes, than a man can.